afraid. When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who shall stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Let's pray. Dear God, we bless Your name. And Father, while we have a veiled experience with You at this time, an experience with You that is mediated, one that is not as direct as we long for it to be, we are grateful that You have met us in this place. And Lord, that You have placed Your name upon us, that we would be in glorious fellowship with You. We are honored by Your word, Father, and we seek the peace, and we seek the confidence that comes only from a close fellowship with You. Has it ever been any different? In Jesus we pray. Amen. I want us to reflect a little bit on the life that we live here in Western culture in the United States. If there's anything that we have mastered in this world, we have mastered how to be distracted. Amen? This is a gift. I mean, this seems to be almost a sport that we pursue. These cell phones that we have, if I can pick on that for just a moment, I know I'm in dangerous territory. But, you know, they've morphed into computers, and it's morphed into, we've gone past emails to, we have all kinds of social media interaction going in our lives. We're giving it and we're receiving it. It's just a constant barrage of images and words, and our thoughts are distracted. I go to baseball games and softball games out here in El Campo watching Little League, and moms and dads are up in the stands doing this right here, and I'm looking around going, man, that is a gorgeous sunset. Wow, look at that child go. And I wonder, what is it that we're missing? And about that time, I must admit, I got a text. And what did my phone do? It went, here, boy, here, listen, boy, or something like that. It goes ding, and it's amazing when you hear the ding or whatever it is. It's like, shoo, immediate focus. It's like, who's in charge of the phone? Is it me in charge of my phone, or is my phone in charge of me? And my behavior betrays the fact that I think it's in charge of me. I've allowed it to become that way. Anyway, I say all of that to say something that we all know to be true, that we are amazingly distracted. Reports of injuries to distracted walkers treated at hospital emergency rooms have more than quadrupled in the past 7 years. Folks, this is what we call a trend. You might have seen people with wearing long beards these days. That's called a trend. And you see all kinds of different new outfits that people wear, and they're new and they're bizarre, and all of a sudden the new and bizarre becomes something that becomes a trend. Well, the new trend among us is that we are injuring ourselves because we are so distracted. Used to, the trouble was walking and chewing gum. Nowadays, it's walking and texting. It's a very dangerous prospect to be involved in. But they say a lot, it's likely that it's more than quadrupled because most people will not admit that they injured themselves while texting and walking. But here's a couple of stories of what happened recently with people who walked and texted and got injured and ended up in emergency rooms. A 24-year-old woman walked into a telephone pole recently while texting and had to be treated at the ER. A 28-year-old man who was walking along the road fell into the ditch while he was texting on his cell phone. A 12-year-old boy who was looking at a video game was clipped by a pickup truck when he crossed the street, not realizing that he had crossed the street. You know, you got to watch those video games. I keep telling my kids about the video games. I'm like, your brain is shrinking. But anyway, it's not working. Then there was a bicyclist who was talking on his cell phone and ran into a 67-year-old pedestrian. Does that count as an elder? Do we refer to them as elders? So that wasn't an elderly person. I was going to have more compassion if that was an elderly person. Okay, anyway. You shouldn't hit pedestrians while you're riding your bicycles. And then one of my favorites was a California man was texting his boss and nearly strolled into a 400-pound black bear while he was walking in California. And he was just a few feet in a that would be a capital F, few feet away from the bear when he realized that he was in the path of the bear. And he did what you should not do if you ever encounter a live bear and you're really, really, really close, okay? You should go do something like roar. Or I was told you're supposed to take your jacket. I can't do it. I used to take my jacket and lace it up over my head like this. And where you look like you're bigger and taller, you have to project size and fear to get the bear away from you. No, he ran. And bears are predators. And their prey normally. And he ended up in the ER. One news outlet offered the following advice. Texting while walking is less dangerous than texting while driving, but as the story of the black bear demonstrates, it's always a good idea to keep aware of your surroundings. Anyway, that was in USA Today. Distracted pedestrians stumble into danger. This past week, I was throwing ball. Is Eli in here? Good. Eli and I were throwing baseball in the backyard on Friday night, and he got hit in the left eye with a baseball right here. And his eye puffed up really good. He actually looked like Pacquiao and Mayweather, you know, after their fight. I thought he looked pretty tough, actually. And I said, Eli, when people ask you what happened, just say, hey, you ought to see the other guy. So he gets up here yesterday to the shower that we had for Brandon and Courtney. And sure enough, someone asked you, Eli, what happened to your eye? And he says, my dad hit me with a baseball. I'm like, no. If the true story were told, when I threw the ball, which was a lob up into the sky, it had 6 or 7 seconds of hang time, plenty of time to react. Had he maintained focus on the ball, he would have caught it rather than the squirrel or whatever else he was looking at. But anyway, he decided to throw me under the bus. He was, but it made me out to be like an abusive father. But anyway, my kids, I have found, have no problem throwing dad under the bus. And speaking under the bus, I know sometimes my stories are redundant. If I have ever told this story and you've heard it, I apologize. It's just one of my favorites. When I was, 10 or 11, how old are you, Rebecca? See, I should have known that. When I was Rebecca's age, we were in a bus and we lived way out in the country. And anyway, Mom drove the bus. That's how country we were. The route began at the McCord house. And anyway, we're driving through the country picking up kids, and we go to this one house where George lived. And George wasn't standing out by the road, which was very common. And so Mom honked the horn on the bus, and George bursting when you come out of the door? You know what I mean. That's what he did. And in his hand, he was a very smart kid. Little on the nerdy side of life, but a very smart kid. And he had maybe 8 or 10 textbooks and a couple of binders with all kinds of papers in them. And here comes George running down his driveway. And while he's running with all of these books and stuff, one of the guys rolls down the window. It's not rolling, but it's latched. You unlatch the window and you drop the window on the school bus, and he yells, George, hurry up! Well, George, who was wearing Have y'all seen those square toe cowboy boots? See, today they're all the rage. It's a trend, right? But back when I was a kid, that was dorky. All right, square toe cowboy boots with America, United States of American Eagle on the front with your pants tucked inside the boots. That was a little on the dorky side of life. And anyway, here he comes. He's running in his American, United States of American Eagle boots. Right down the gravel driveway, and one of the guys had yelled George, and George looked over to see who had done the yelling at about the same time he arrived at the bus. And George's, I don't know if his feet got ahead of his body or his body got ahead of his feet, but all I know is there was this loud bang against the side of the bus, and papers went everywhere, and everybody got up on the side of the bus where George had hit, and everyone was looking for George, and he wasn't to be found until he said, "Hey," and we, or something like that. We turned around, and he had actually slid through underneath the bus and had come out on the other side. Now, we tried to be really nice about that because you want to be compassionate towards somebody who's been hurt, right? But then again, I was only 10 or 11 years old. I mean, that's just asking too much. And so when he gets on the bus after collecting his books and stuff, we all go, "Bah!" You know, we're laughing our heads off. It was terrible. I repent. You know what is true about loss of focus is in the material world, it's also true about the loss of focus in our spiritual needs of individuals as well. Loss of focus in life can have a similar effect. And if you don't have a purpose or a focus in your life, you're going to be all over the map. Everything and everybody is competing for your focus. For instance, we have all these competitive focuses. Foci, there we go. That's the plural. You know, looks are important to some people. That becomes the focus of their life. Or admiration is important. Have y'all seen that commercial of the Yardleys? Have y'all seen the, I think it's a True Green lawn commercial. Has anybody seen that? There's the snooty neighbors walking down the street. She's got her Argyle sweater on, and she's walking hand in hand with her husband, and they're talking bad about those Yardleys over there. But then they do admire their yard. They are like envious of their yard. And the Yardleys are sitting in their couch. Their living room has been moved out to their yard because their yard is better than carpet, right? Right? And so it plays on this idea, or there's this, it plays to the idea, if you want to be envied by your neighbors, then you need to have True Green come and fix your lawn, because admiration, see, it plays to that. Admiration is important. Maybe influence is important. Power is important. Or this pursuit of pleasure is very, very important in our lives. I used to have a Labrador Retriever, and her name was Ziggy, and she loved to play fetch. And it didn't matter what I would throw to her. We mostly threw tennis balls, but I could throw a stick, or I could throw a dummy, and no, that wasn't Hannah. Or I could throw, just kidding, or I could throw Mindy's decorative fruit off of the table. It didn't matter if I had it in my hand, and I'd go, "Ziggy, Ziggy, look, 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 look." And I would throw it, she'd say, "Ah," and she runs and she retrieves it, and we play this game back and forth. I believe the world plays fetch with you and I all the time, going, "Ooh, look, look, here it is." And then we go chasing after, because this is the ultimate meaning and significance of our lives. And very few people recognize that this is a game and that we are being played. It's fun for a retriever. It's confusing and it's exhausting for people. Amen? In Psalm 27, David is not being played. David's not being played. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, It is my enemies and my foes who's going to stumble and fall, though an army besiege me. So if we have this surprise attack, or if we have this longer planned siege, or he goes on to say, though war break out, they've declared war, so we've gone from a short-term skirmish by surprise to a siege to declaration of war. It really doesn't matter, David says. It does not matter what my circumstances are, because I have one thing. I have a singular focus for my life. He says, this is amazing. He publicly says, even then, I will be confident. You ought to underline that in your Bibles. Even then, I will be confident. And here's why. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In the ancient world, people lived in what we would refer to as tents. As a matter of fact, when David writes this psalm, he refers to the temple, but it's actually not a structured single location temple. He's talking about the temple that Moses had built, which was a tent that was able to be moved around. And then later, David's son Solomon would have the responsibility for building this permanent fixture, this permanent tent. But David longed to dwell in the tent of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. And as I was saying, in antiquity, when you came to someone's residence, which they were tent-dwelling people, when you come and they extend hospitality and offer you access inside their tent, they do two things. They provide for your needs. They're going to offer hospitality. And if there is any threat, it is on them to protect you. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Lot? And then Lot had the visitors that came in, and the visitors come into Lot's house. They come into Lot's dwelling. Lot protects them. That's the idea of what I'm talking about. David says, the security that I long for in my life can only be found in close fellowship with God. Only in close fellowship with God. The Lord is my light. Church family, this is the first time in all of Scripture that God is referred to metaphorically as light. And I believe it's here that Jesus begins to paint the picture more complete for us, what it means for us that God is light. The other day, I was walking in the garage in the darkness, stumbled over a few things, looking for something. I was like, I couldn't find a flashlight in the house. I don't know. Somebody had moved it from where it previously was, but I'll maintain the guilt in privacy. But anyway, one of my kids, Eli, he says, well, Dad, you got a flashlight on your cell phone. Oh, there's that phone thing again. Are you kidding me? I didn't know that. And did you laugh at me, boy? All right. He said, yeah, here it is. He does this, and then he does this, and he does this, and there's a light on there. I'm like, whoa. And it illuminated the way. Otherwise, I would have been stumbling all over everything. The same is true for our lives, that God is this light. John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all men. John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. David says, I think with a little cockiness in his voice, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? How big a role does fear play in your life? If you were to keep a tally, I challenge you tomorrow, take your little piece of paper with you, and every time you have to make a decision that causes fear or is from fear, I want you to put a mark and see how many marks you come up with in the course of one day. You say, well, John, I ain't afraid. Yeah, shoot, I ain't afraid of nothing. I would say most of your decisions and most of my decisions every day come from fear. Fear you'll get up too late, and so what do? You set an alarm clock. There we go. You're afraid your kids will make you late, and so what do as moms and dads? You yell and scream. Okay. All right. Or you're fearful that you'll have a wreck, and so you put on a seatbelt, or you're afraid you won't be able to get everything done, and so you yell and you scream more during the day. You're afraid you might disappoint someone, and so you become very adept at shifting the blame. You're afraid someone will steal from you, so you lock everything down. You're afraid life is passing you by. Afraid you'll never get out of this hole, this bind, this predicament. Afraid you'll get sick. Afraid you'll make a mistake and someone will recognize it. Think about how often you get angry. Are any of y'all gifted with the gift of anger? Well, let me suggest that what you're dealing with and what you're expressing is fear. David has confidence, not fear. And I have yet to find a place in the Bible where God has called us to be anxious or afraid. I haven't found that one. Do any of you know where that passage is? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. And so, matter of fact, I want to read this passage from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, I don't know how you hear that. Some of us go, the Lord is near, and like, better watch what I'm doing. Oh, you're missing it. You should honor and revere the Lord. But I think what Paul's talking about here is God's near. Well, actually, I think it's the same thing. David is saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my stronghold. Bring on the battalions, brother. We can take it because my God is stronger still. Do not be anxious about anything. There's a command that the church sometimes forget in the way it organizes its life. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider today what your one thing is. Fear messes with the objective lens and the focus of our life. Whatever you focus that lens on, everything else becomes, well, just background. It becomes just it's not well-defined. But whatever you focus on becomes well-defined in your life. Are you fearful of being unnoticed? Are you fearful of being irrelevant? Are you fearful of being alone? Are you fearful of being unimportant? Are you fearful of missing out? Are you fearful of being used? Are you fearful of being hurt? See, I think the last thing that we often project is real confidence in life. David says, I will have confidence. So what do? We fake confidence. We buy that truck or SUV or house that we can't afford. We spend untold dollars on appearance helps. We will scratch, claw, fight our way to the top in order to be powerful, relevant, admired, and envied. And we'll do everything we can to prevent the unspoken but greatest fear of being a loser. That's the word we use today. The last thing too many of us have is confidence. Confidence only comes from a correct focus. One other passage in Philippians chapter 3 I might share with you. Paul says, verse 7, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He had just rattled off all of his credentials. What are yours? What are your experiences? What is it that makes you so important in life? Paul says, well, I won't say it. I'll use good words. That's just, my best word for that is poo-poo. It's Greek, skobolone, and it means something much more caustic than the word that I just used. Whatever was to my gain, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them, there it is, garbage It's much more a radical word than the way NIV translated. That's such a nice word. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. He says in verse 10, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. Then in 12, he says, not that I've obtained this or have already arrived, but I press on. And then he goes in verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this, but one thing I do. Did you get that? The one thing. What is your one thing, church? The one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining for what is ahead, I press on to win the goal, the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward. Church family, oh, God offers this amazing gift of confidence and peace, but it is only in fellowship with him. Are you a retriever chasing anything and everything? Here it is. Or are you confident in the one thing is the Lord your light and your salvation? If we can serve any of you, we invite you forward. Come and let us pray for you as we stand and as we sing.
I stand.